There's a Yad Soledis though in this room. Definitely Chov Beis HaShechita. Okay. So the last thing we mentioned last time was the halacha that tahor meliach, the tamei tafel, is mutter. And we'll talk about why exactly that is now. So the first question we have to consider is this so true? Is this true? This case over here, tamei tafel tahor meliach. So the Gemara says it's mutter. Now, the illustration has two pieces of meat touching each other. And that is the simple understanding of the Gemara. That's the way the Rashba and other Rishonim learn, that the heter is even if they are touching each other. However, the Ran says no. If they're touching each other, then of course they will asur each other. After all, there's heat, and the heat should transfer the taste. So what does the Gemara mean? The Gemara means when they're near each other, but not actually touching each other. So why would you think it's Aser? And why is it Aser, let's say, if it's the opposite case, if it's Tamei, Meliach, and Tahor Tafel? The answer is that even though the pieces of meat aren't touching each other, but the tzir that is being niflat from the Basar Meliach is going to go ahead and touch whatever's Tafel. So Memela, if the Tamei is Meliach, so then that seer is going to ooze out and touch whatever's Tafel. So if it's the Tamei Meliach Vitar Tafel, the Tar becomes Aser. But in the reverse case, in the case where it's Tahor Meliach and Tamei Tafel, so it's true, there's nothing oozing out of the Tamei, right? So there's no way for the Tahor to become Aser. And that's the Chiddush of the Gemara. So how do we paskin? So the Mechaber is Mekel. However, the Raman in Simen Kuf Hei Sif Yud quotes the sheet of the Ran and says that Yesh Lahakel B'makom Hefseid. So Shelo B'makom Hefseid, we're Machmir like the Ran, that even if you have Tamei Tafel and Tar Meliach Shenagu Zeh B'Zeh, we're going to be Oser. B'makom Hefseid, the Ramah says we're Mekel. What type of Hefseid? According to the Shach, it's Dafka Hefseid Merubah. Rabbi Kiveger there quotes Achronim who say you could be Mekel even in a Hefseid Muat. Now, so far so good. What happens if one of them is a liquid and one of them is a solid? So now things get a little confusing. So the Ramah deals with this in Simen Sadi Aleph Sif Hei, and he writes, Bamed var mamurim, when do we say that Tahor Meluach v'Tamei Tafel is Mutter k'sheshneim yaveshim? Aval, im ha-Tamei Tafel hutzalo, ve'atar meliach hulach k'tzas, yachal ha-Tamei lasor. So let's give an example, and an easier and perhaps a little more likely example is a case of Basar B'chalav. So in the case over here, this middle case where you have the chalav tzalo, plain old milk, and a salty piece of meat falls in. You're salting your meat, and accidentally you drop one of the salty meats into your bowl of milk. So what's going to be the halacha? So that's where the Ramah says, so pashtus, before we say it, pashtus, you would say it's mutter. Why? The basar is maluach. The basar is maluach, so it's being polate. Let's assume for the moment that we're mikaradit. In other words, not the ran, right? So the basar is being polate, but it's not being bolea. So therefore, I would have thought that in this case, what's the halacha? The chalav, of course, is going to be asar, but the basar should be mutter. Yet, the Ramah writes that the basar is asar as well. So why should this be? Why should we treat solid and liquid differently than solid and solid? So the Prima Gadim in Sifsei Das Sifkatan Tesvav, and this is basically based off of the Sefer HaTrumah, explains that the reason why Tahor Meliach is not Boleya from Tamei Tafel is because there's no koach in the Meliach to be polate Tan Min HaTafel. So let's go back to this case. Tamei Tafel Tahor Meliach, right? So why is it that the Tahor remains Tahor Mutter? Because this is polate, it's not, and therefore melicha gives something the koach liflot, but it doesn't give something, but so this is polite, but what's but nothing is being niflat from the tame, right? Now, that's what I would have said. So if nothing is being niflat from the tame, then over here as well, what am I going to say? So the point is here it's a problem. Why? Because if you think that the... Okay, sorry, I'm a little... I said this badly. If you think this is mutter, right? This is mutter because there's nothing coming out of here. The tame tafel isn't polite anything. The reason why this is mutter is because whatever is maluach is polite. Whatever is tafel is not polite. So in this case, what's happening? The tahor is being polite. Great, who cares? The tame is being bolea, but not polate. Good, so we're all set. But over here, you don't need plata, because since the basar is maluach, it has the capability of being bolea, and the male of the chalav itself asers it. Meaning to say, the reason why the tahor remains okay over here is because nothing is coming out of the tafel. There's no platos that could possibly enter the tahor. But over here, you don't need platos because it's a liquid. Again, what's the yesod? The yesod is very simple. That melicha, if something is maluach, it's polate. Okay, good. So therefore, now, if something is maluach, it's also bolea. But here, there's nothing to be bolea. But here, since it's in a liquid, the liquid is nifla. You don't need the liquid to be polate, because as a liquid itself, it simply gets absorbed. That's the yesod, that why this is aser. Okay, good. So what about now the reverse case, the third case? What about a case where, so we're going to reverse it, instead we're going to have salty milk and non-salted meat. So what's the halacha in this case? So the Ramah doesn't discuss this, but this is in the Shach. And Shach Sifkat and Tez Zayin. And L'chora, before we address it, this is going to come down to a suffix that's in the Rashba. Okay, what's the Rashba suffix? So when we say that tar maluach v'tame tafel is mutter, right? In this case, it's mutter. It could be mutter from one of two reasons. One is that the tame tafel is actually not, like we said before, it's actually polate a little tiny bit. Not a lot, but since it's touching the tame, it's polate a little bit. But since the tahor maluach is so busy being bolea, it's not polate a little tiny drop. So if both of them are meluchim, so then both of them are being polate a lot, and mamela both of them will be bolea. But in this case, since it's tafel, it's only polate a little tiny bit, so mamela, it's only polate a little tiny bit, that's not going to be enough to get absorbed. That's possibility A. Or possibility B is really what we said before, that since it's tafel, it's not polate anything at all, right? Now, that's a suffix of the Rashba. The Rashba offers both of those studim. The nafgamina in that suffix is going to be this case. Why? Because in this case, if you learn, like, it's the second side. So the Shach says what? The Shach first quotes a tarschatas, that the milk is going to be mutter. Right? Now, if you learn, like, the second pshat, that something which is tafel is not polate anything, so then it makes a lot of sense that the milk is mutter. Why? Because since the basar is tafel, so it's not polate anything. So how could the chalav become mutter? But if you learn like the first sad, that even if it's tafel, it's polate a little bit, so now the milk could become aser if there isn't shishim keneged that which it's polate. So the Shach himself says that the Torah's chatas is mekel, like the second sad in the Rashba, but the Shach himself leaves it as a tzarchian because the Mordechai and the Smag are machmir, l'chora like the first sad in the Rashba. And moreover, the Shach says there's another reason to be no to lahachmir, because according to the Ran, for sure this is asar, right? And remember, the Ramah wrote that l'chatchila and Simen Kofei, we follow the Ran. According to the Ran, there's nothing to talk about, because even this is Aser, right? Even this is Aser, so Kol Shekein that will be Aser. Yeah?
Sorry, why, according to the first Tzad, is the milk going
to
be Aser?
According to the first Tzad, so something that's Tafel, that's in contact with something Maluach, is polate a little bit. Not a lot, a little bit. So therefore, in this case, so this Tame is polate a little bit, but because the Tahor is so busy being Bolea, it's not polate the little bit that the Tame is polate, right? Because the Tahor is so busy being polate, because the Tahor is so busy being polate, it's not Bolea the little bit that the Tame is polate. But here, since it's in a liquid, it doesn't need to be Bolea, it just gets mixed in right away. Okay. So that is, I got very confused when doing this, but I think that's what comes out. Okay, what about if shnehem yaveshim? Right, they're both dry. A dry piece of very salty cheese touches a dry piece of very salty meat. So the Shulchan Aruch Siman Tzadi Aleph says that everything is mutter. Why is that? Because the idea is as follows. We know that the koach of melach is to be moshech the tzir, the liquid that's in the object. And that's why if something is salted, so it will feel moist on the outside. Why? Because the salt is drawing the moisture out from within the piece. Memela, if you see that it's totally dry, that shows me that the koach of the salt has expired. Right? It's no longer nidon kiroseach. It's paska risichuso. It's kilu, it's no longer hot anymore. So therefore, basically, this is similar to the tzad we were discussing yesterday. Remember yesterday we had the opinion of the Trumas HaDeshen that stated that the koach of melicha expires after 18 minutes. So we don't accept that Trumas HaDeshen, except for maybe, b'makom hefsid meruba, v'tzarach sudas mitzvah, and the like. But that doesn't mean to say that we think that it's always the case that meliach retains its efficacy. No. We agree that at a certain point, the melichos, the koach ha-melichos, the resichos ha-melichos does run out. The only question is, when does it run out? So we don't accept, under normal circumstances, a Trumas HaDeshen that says, yes, it automatically runs out after 18 minutes. However, we do, if we see evidence that it's run out, so then we accept that. And therefore, if they're both dry, so then both pieces are going to be mutter. And therefore, the Rama over here writes that even if it were to become wet, but that moisture is not the moisture that the salt is drawing out from within the piece, but it's just stam moisture, so it's going to be mutter. So that's why, for example, if you had the case of a basar meliach betol chalav salul, right, the case over here, so it could be mutter. That's what the Rama writes. When do we say it's aser? Dafka kishahatahor, meaning the baser maluach in this case, is lach tzas. But if it's yavish lagamre, then the Ramah says it's mutter. Now, you could, when you read it at first, you say, what do you mean it's yavish lagamre? Of course it's not yavish. It fell into a bucket of milk. It's wet. No, it means that there's no natural moisture. Of course it's wet, but that's the moisture that came from the milk that it fell into. If it was dry before it fell in, so you see that the koach, the resichos of the melach has expired. It no longer has any koach anymore. So memela, if that piece of meat, that salty meat, that's dry, right? That's why when someone asked about beef jerky yesterday, so I said, is beef jerky dry? I don't know. But if it's dry already, even if we're going to assume that beef jerky is eino nachal machmas milcho, again, I have a hard time believing that because you eat it. But let's say it is. That's it. Still, eino nachal machmas milcho. So still, but if it's dry, so then, let's say it fell into to your milk. So even though normally the Rama says you have to be machmir for basar meliach into milk, plain milk. Here you could be meiko. Okay, fine. So that's it. One last thing. So Sif Yud Gimel. Melicha by Kalim. So Tosfos on Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph writes that the din of tar meliach v'tamei tafel, so because of that, you could use these tfusei gayim to make cheese. What does that mean exactly? There would be these containers in which they would salt the cheese. So it's mutter. And why is this? So the Ramah writes in Simen Kuf Hei, Sif Yud Beis, De'ein melicha bekelim. What does that mean? It means that even though the cheese that you put into this tfus is very, very salty, it's enu nachal machmas milcho, but that's not going to cause the kli to be maflit masha betocho. So, at first glance, this seems to be an exception to meliach kerosech. Let's imagine that you put a salty piece of cheese on a treif plate. So then... a salty piece of, roseach piece of cheese on a treif plate, so we would say that the cheese becomes usser. So why is it that when you put a salty piece of cheese into a kli, that the salty piece of cheese remains mutter, even though the kli is balua biblio shalisser? The answer is, says the Shach, Sefkat Membeis, and is based off of the Tosfos, that this is just an application of the normal rule of Tahor Meliach V'Tamei Tafel. Meaning to say that, yes, it's true the Tfus, the Kli, is Balua Be'Isser, but what is it? It's not salty itself, right? The Kli itself might have Blio Shel Isser, but it's not Maluach. It's not Nechal Machmas Milcho. It's not Nechal because it's a Kli, but it's not Enu Nechal Machmas Milcho. So Memela, since the kli is tafel, right? So it's true, you have tahor meliach, v'tame tafel, right? Tahor meliach is the salty cheese, v'tame tafel is the treif kli. So Memela, the kli lacks the capacity to aser the cheese. So all that is that it's mutter b'diavet. Is it mutter l'chatchila? So the Ramah writes, l'chatchila, you should be machmir. And the question is, why should you be machmir l'chatchila? Maybe it should be mutter even l'chatchila. So take a look at the Badei Shulchan over there, Sifkat and Kuf Ayin Dalad. And there are three opinions in the Achronim to explain why we're makel l'chatchila, which might have some nafkaminas. The first opinion is that l'chatchila, we try to be choshish for the Shitas HaRavya. The Ravya, it's not so clear why, but the Ravya holds that in this case the cheese actually becomes asar. He seems to reject this rule. But it sounds like from the way the Ravya says it, is that it might only be a special din by cheese because kevan chenimlach betfus kam kvar harbe pa'amim ade ha'akom, so it's more chamor. Fine. That's one reason. We don't mikra din, we don't paskin like the Ravya, but l'chatchila you should be choshesh. Tzad number two is that l'chatchila you shouldn't do it because the whole din of tahor meliach v'tamei tafel was only said b'diavad, but not l'chatchila. In other words, as opposed to option one, which is that there is an opinion that says it's even b'diavad, though maybe only for gvina, opinion two says no. We don't consider the opinion of the Ravya. The Ravya was absolutely rejected, but everybody only thinks this din is b'diavad, not l'chatchila. And the third possibility, which might be the second, same as the second, is that we're choshesh that you'll forget to wash it. Meaning to say that if you, even though, let's say, tahor meliach v'tamei tafel is mutter, you need to do hadacha. And generally speaking, we'll see this a little later, there's a concern, at least, that you'll forget to wash it. We have that concern at least when it comes to things that you're likely to eat without washing, right? So even though you could, let's say, the Mishnah says you could put your milchiks and your fleishiks in the same bag, we'll see that if it's something, since you have to wash it afterwards, if it's something that you might forget to wash, then you shouldn't do that. And the same thing would be true over here. So perhaps according to the later reasons, you would be machmir for all things, whereas according to the first reason, maybe only by gvina. Yeah?
The second reason, is that because we're that
Oh, No, I didn't think so. I could double check. Because I don't know if the Ran would be machmir by dishes. I would assume he's not. It's a good ha'ara, but I would assume not. I don't know. I could check. I mean, if that was the reason, then we should be machmir even b'diavad. That's why I'm assuming not, right? Because shelo b'makom hefsid, we're choshish for the Ran. So the assumption seems to be that the Ran would agree by Kalim. And maybe he does explicitly, I don't remember.
The Torah explains the Ran that the whole story behind the Ran is that when the two pieces of food touch, the Mleach is making the Tacha Mleach, so that can't be quite the case.
Okay, there we go. Fine. Now, there are some poskim that say that the Lechatchila, you should have separate salt dishes. Okay, the question is, would that apply to us? Most of us don't use salt dishes, we use salt shakers. So do you have to be choshish l'chatchil? Could you have the same salt shaker that you use for a milchik meal and a fleishik meal? So...
That is a problem.
So there's two issues. Why do you have to be machmir for the salt dish, first of all? So many of the poskim say, because we're concerned that some drops of fleish will fall into the dish, and therefore if you use that salt at the milchik's meal, then it would be a problem. Or because your hands are dirty when you take salt out or the like. Now, if those are the chashos, so then that shouldn't apply for a salt shaker, right? Salt shaker, you don't stick your hands into the salt shaker, and things, generally speaking, aren't going to fall into the salt shaker. If something fell on it, you would probably wipe it off, and therefore it should be okay. So, l'chora, it doesn't apply to salt shakers. You raise an issue, Moshe raised an issue, well, do you have to worry about Zeya? So the Pashup Shad is you don't have to, because what you're going to use at a table will not have such an intense Zeya that it could go into the salt shaker and make it milchiks or fleishiks, but we'll have to return to that question when we do Zeya, because like you're saying correctly, there is additional concern for Zeya, for shakers that don't apply for salt dishes. Okay. Sif Yudalid.
The
maskana is wait for Zeya. The chashos that are mentioned here by the poskim for salt dishes l'chora don't apply to salt shakers. So now we have to wait for Zeya to see if there's a new chash for salt shakers, and we'll talk about it. It's much more of a concern for spice shakers than it is for salt shakers. In truth, why? Because a spice shaker, there's more of a concern for that. Let's say I have pepper, right? So pepper, I might open up a pot of chicken soup that's boiling over, and right when I open it up, start pouring in my pepper. There might actually be a thick plume of Zeya, which you're not going to usually have at your table if it's just salt shakers that you use at the table. So we'll talk about that when we do Zeya. Be'ezras Hashem. Okay. Sif Yudalid. So it's too bad Sammy isn't here. We have the rule of Ein HaNasar. So... There are three mahalchim in the Rishonim about Ein HaNasar. The first is Tosfos. Tosfos holds of the principle of Ein HaNasar Oser B'makom Shah Iser Atzmo Eino Yachol Leilech Sham. And the question, and Tosfos says this in two places. He has two illustrations of the principle. And we alluded to this point before, but now we'll just say it again because it comes up especially in Negra. So, illustration number one is Tosfos on Tzadi Vav Amud Beis, and Tosfos there has the following, is talking about Klipa, Dimascha Afilu, and he says if you hold of Hanan, so there should be a problem with a Klipa, because let's just take the example of a hot piece of kosher meat touches a nevela meat, even if everything is kachosh, so the klipa or the netila will become aser, and that klipa should aser the next klipa, and that should aser the next klipa, and that should aser the next klipa. And therefore, we'll never have a situation where it's only aser b'chdei klipa or b'chdei netila, the whole thing will become aser. So Tosfos has two answers there. One, he quotes the Yireim, that we don't say hanan on just a partial piece, but the Iker answer that Tosfos likes is this yesod of Ein HaNasar, that because the blio shel iser won't get past the klipa, so we don't say hanan to allow the nasar, the tam heter that was nafach le'eser to aser the next klipa and the next klipa and the next klipa. So that's tzior number one. Tzior number two is Tosas kofchesem adbeis dibra maschel amai, that tavlin habluin midam shenaflu lekedera are misbatel b'shishim. Now, even though, let's say you have a pepper that was absorbed, that was bolea ifser, even though you could taste the pepper, why? Either shishim connected the pepper, because pepper is davar charif, you could taste it well more than shishim. But even if we were to assume that this pepper is entirely absorbed with iser, right, you wouldn't taste the iser, because there's shishim. So ein hanasar, oser b'makom she'iser atzmo enu yachol leilech sham. Now here, leilech isn't precise. The iser actually is everywhere, but the tam ha'iser would be batel, and therefore we say that even though the tam ha'nasar is nirgash, since the tam ha'iser would be batel, it would be mutter. Now, you don't take that all the way, because then you would get rid of Hanan, right? The whole idea of Hanan is that if a potato was bolea 2% iser, and now gets mixed in with 50 other potatoes, it osers it, even though the tam ha'oser isn't nirgash, because you say Hanan. But the answer is that when do we say Hanan? We say Hanan to imagine ki'ilu this whole thing was nevela, but we treat it as potato nevela, and not as, potato isn't a good example. We treat it as kilu it was dam, not kilu it's melach or tavlin or the like. So that's the second yesod of second illustration of Tosfos. Oh. Now, in both of these cases, let's get back to that. Good. So that's the second. Now, does anyone disagree with the principle of Ein HaNasar? So we mentioned when we talked about this last time that Ran disagrees. This we discussed when we did the Sugya of Hanan by Shari Surim. And the Ran thinks that these Rayos aren't a Raya, because he thinks that the reason why we say Hanan by Shari Surim is Gzeira Mishem Basar B'chalav, and therefore in cases where you could never have Basar B'chalav, we don't say Hanan. And therefore, you can never have basar v'chalav for a klipa, deraisa. You can never have basar v'chalav for melicha. And therefore, we won't say Hanan in these cases. So essentially, the Ran says, if you actually were to say Hanan, so it wouldn't make any sense to say Ein HaNasar. What does Hanan mean? The heter turns into iser, right? The first opinion, the opinion of Tosfos, says, well, Hanan doesn't really mean Hanan. What it means, we'll talk about in a moment. But Hanan is lav dafka. It's not truly nas and nevela. The Ran says, no, Hanan is truly nas and nevela, and therefore, if you said Hanan, taka, all these cases would be aser. However, we don't actually say true, we don't say Hanan in these cases. Ah. Now, I think last time we pointed out that the Ran could be Lashitaso, and Tosfos could be Lashitaso. Tosfos probably learns, like the Rashba, that even by Basar B'chalav, we apply the principle of Ein HaNasar. Even though Basar B'chalav is full-fledged Hanan, right? But, like we said before, let's say you have Basar Shebala Tipa Shel Chalav, right? And now that Basar becomes Asar, it is Tam Chalav, and that touches another Basar. Both of them are hot. So according to Tosfos and the Rashba, the second piece is Mutter, because we say Ein balu yotzi b'lo rotev, and therefore even by basar b'chalav, ein hanasar oser b'makom shisar atzmo einu yachol leilech l'sham. Since the chalav can't get to the second piece is mutter. It doesn't mean that the tam of the basar. And the Ran said, no, the second piece is oser. So you see that there's a machlokas how to say Hanan, even where you say Hanan, even where everybody says Hanan is mekar adin by basar b'chalav, you say ein hanasar. According to the Rashba, fundamentally, you say Hanan by Basar B'chalav. You say Hanan by Basar B'chalav, you say Ein HaNasar by Basar B'chalav. Whereas according to the Ran, if in places where you would say Hanan, you would never say Ein HaNasar, right? And Memela, the answer of Tosfos is very unappealing for the Ran, so the Ran has to come up with his own answer. Good. So essentially what we've said is there's really two ways to explain Tosfos. One way to explain Tosfos is that you're right, this isn't really Hanan, but since Hanan is only Drabanan, they were only Mekel so far. They didn't go all the way. If you actually said Hanan, Ein HaNasar wouldn't make sense, but we don't really. Or alternatively, no, to say that even where you do say Hanan, like by Bas B'Chalav, you would apply Ein HaNasar. Now we'll see in a moment that second point only makes sense for one of the illustrations of Tosfos, not two. But we'll get back to that in a moment. The third view in Rishonim is cited here in the Tur. The Tur in Simon Kofei quotes the Rash Mikutzi and the Riva, and this is probably also the opinion of the Rashbam in Tosfos Kuf Chesam at base, as well as Rabbeinu Tam over there. And that is the following. They say, no, according to the Rash Mikutzi, let's say you have Melach that's Balua Bedam, and it gets mixed into a pot, it's usher even if there's shishim keneged the melach, against Tosfos illustration 2. Why? Because again, we treat the melach as ke'ilu, it's dam, and since you could taste, it's nasa nevela, and since you could taste the melach, so it's usher. So that's the view of these Rishonim. Now, the problem with this shita is that now we have a big problem. The problem is that Tosfos brought a raya for a shita that we say Ein HaNasar by the Melach from the fact that Melicha works, right? If you learn like the Rash Mikutzi and the Riva and Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam, how does Melicha work? Every Melicha should essentially asser the meat. Why? Because after you've salted meat, you will still taste some Melach Shabo. I remember a couple of years ago, Empire Chicken kept on winning these awards for the best tasting chicken. So everybody was, wow, look at that, Empire is so amazing. And then somebody chapped that when they do chicken competitions, so they cook the chicken with no spices or anything, they're just totally plain, otherwise you can't tell what it's from. So Empire chickens are salted, so left unspiced, they taste better than all the other chickens, all the Treif chickens, because the Treif chickens were never salted. The Empire chicken was essentially spiced, right? It was salted, but they didn't say it. So since then, the big thing is to have, even for non-kosher chicken, is to have what's called brined chicken, which basically means salt the chicken. The guy who now chopped that, if you salt your chicken, it tastes better. Anyway, so then after that, Empire stopped winning the contest. I don't know, maybe they did. I'm not sure. But anyway, so the point is that according to the Rash Mikutzi, every Empire chicken should be treif, right? Why? You taste the salt, and the salt is usher. No. So what are we going to say? We could answer like actually the Ran says, which is the Ran writes that salt burns up the melach shabo. Or alternatively, the Rashba in terms of bias on Testament base, the dam shabo. Thank you. It'd be very funny if it burns itself out. The dam is burns out the melach shabalua betocho. Thank you. Or the way the Rashba says it is kevan shehadam eno mifapea. Now this is a very interesting point. How does that help for the Rash Mikutzi, right? So the answer is very beautiful. The answer is that even the Rash Mikutzi, even the Rashbam, the Riva, Rabbeinu Tam, they all agree to tzir number one of Tosfos. They just disagree with tzir number two of Tosfos. Why should they be different? They're both based off of Ein HaNasar. The answer is very simple. In seer number one of Tosfos, is there any isser at all? Absolutely not. Why? Because how far does the isser go? A klipa, or a netila. Does it go any further? No, the metzias is, there's no koach for the isser to go farther. So even though you say Hanan, Ein HaNasar, the Rash Mikutzi agrees to the principle of Ein HaNasar. So why is he machmir by the case of spices that are balua bedam? That's different. There's Isser. There's Isser. It's true that it would be batel b'shishim. If you imagine that the pepper was dam, you wouldn't taste the dam. That's true. But, there's Isser everywhere. Right? There's Isser everywhere. In other words, what's the Yesod? The two Chidushim of Tosfos are really very different from each other. Tosfos, Chiddush 1, case 1 of Tosfos is a much smaller Chiddush. Case 1 of Tosfos says that when do we say Hanan? Only if there's some Isser. If there's a Mashu of Isser. But if there's zero Isser, then we don't say Hanan. Whereas case B of Tosfos is going further. Even though there is Isser here, the point is that even if the Chiddush of Hanan tells me that pepper that has some blios of dam in it, we treat it as though it was kulo dam. So if you wouldn't taste it if there's dam, if there's shishim kenegdo, it's mutter. But there still is iser here. That's where the Rashmi Kutzi and the Riva and the Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam reject Ein HaNasar. So they wouldn't reject the case of Tzadi Vava Medbeis. Ah, so first of all, then it comes out, right, just like I was saying, would you say Ein HaNasar for Basar B'Chalav? So I said before, if you learn like Ran, you wouldn't. If you learn like Rashba, you would say Ein HaNasar. That's only for the first type, right? The second type, of course you would say you would not say Ein HaNasar for Basar B'Chalav. Because in the second type, let's say you had very sharp meat. I don't know if this is possible. But let's say you had meat that was on its own very sharp, right? And it gets mixed in with tam chalav, and now that went into another piece. So of course, that whole thing is basar b'chalav, because as long as the milk and meat are together, it's nevela mamish. So you would never say the second tier. And that's actually exactly what the Rashba writes. The Rashba writes, how is it that the Rashmi Kutzi is going to answer how Malicha works? Answer is very simple. Malicha works because since the melach does not actually carry the blood throughout the piece, and that's because of the nature of blood, right? He writes, Ela kevan she'adam eno mefapea, ena melech yochol lasor, that dam is mishrak sharik, the dam all drains out. The melach in the Empire Chicken has no dam in it. Not either because it burns it out, or because the dam itself just doesn't, it can't be carried by the melach elsewhere, because dam drains down, not up. And therefore it's going to be mutter. So basically what we're saying is that there's two types, even according to Tosfos, there's two types of Ein HaNasar, one which is a much bigger chiddush than the other. Now it's interesting, if you take a look at the Gra, in our Simon Kuf Hei, Sif Katan Pei Ches, the Gra puts the two together. Right? In other words, for the principle over here of Ein HaNasar, which is category 2 Ein HaNasar, he cites Tosos and Tzadi Vav, which is category 1 Ein HaNasar. The Darkei Moshe does the same type of thing. Maybe you see it also a little bit in the Rashba. In other words, there's no chiluk between the two. Now, tzarchi in a little bit, because the Gra should have been a little more meduyuk, it would seem. But that be'etzim, it's not a problem, because Tosfos thinks both are true. According to Tosfos, they're equal. But according to other Rishonim, according to the Rashmi Kutzi, so you'd be mechalik. Yeah.
You're saying there's a very sharp meat.
Right.
So let's say there was less than shishim of that sharp, and that sharp is below mechalik, there was less than shishim of that in something else. So that would still be usher meat, something towards basar b'chalav.
I would think.
Even though there's less than shishim, you have shishim
connected. I would think, yeah. And I don't know if the tier is possible. I would think that if you had sharp meat that was, again, we're not sharp because it absorbed spices, but sharp because it's inherently sharp. So if you had sharp meat that absorbed chalav, and you have shishim kenegdo, but you could still taste the tam basar, mistama would be asar. Even according to the Rashba. Why not? Because in other words, because the Rashba agrees. Remember, the Rashba agrees as long as the makom she basar v'chalav me'uravim, because in the meat, in the sharp meat, there is tam chalav, right? So that's why, just to give you an example, that's why the Rashba holds that even if you don't hold of Chanan, if you added meat, let's say you have a 1/59th milk into meat, right? It's a pot cooking. And you add more meat, so now the tam chalav is no longer nirgash, it's still asar, make a radin. Right? L'chora. Now, all that, if you wanted...
Because of
Chanan, yeah. Because it was Nasa Nevela. It remains usher. The truth is that's true for the Rashba Be'etzem, even if it's not Chanan, right? Even by Shari Surin, he holds that. But that's, by Shari Surin, it might only be a Dinder Rabbanan. I would assume by Basar B'Chalav, it's a Dinder Raisa.
I mean, we don't see the
I would assume. I would assume not. Now, I assume that's because that's we hold Meikar Adin, Midiraisa even that by Basar B'Chalav Efshel L'Soch Do'aser. Well, the Rashi himself might not hold it. We'll say it like this: if you hold that Basar b'chalav efshel sochto asher midiraisa, even though you hold that it's not, we treat it as an iser balua in terms of being able to asher the next piece, but it's diraisa efshel sochto asher, right? So memela, that would mean that if you add more meat to the combination, it's going to be an iser diraisa, even though you don't taste tam bas b'chalav, because chanan is diraisa by bas b'chalav and efshel sochto is asher diraisa by bas b'chalav. Right? That's compatible with the shita that says, but if the piece of meat that's balua with chalav touches another piece of meat, that's mutter. There's no incompatibility there, because there, even though we hold, even though we paskin, for example, asher l'selchto is asher by basu chalav midiraisa, if you could theoretically know that it's 100% free of chalav, then taka will be choser lios mutter. Okay. Fine. Now, just to chazer a little bit from what we said, just very, very bekitzer when we did this at the beginning of the year. Why would we say ein hanesar? Again, if you hold of chanan, it doesn't make sense to say ein hanesar if you truly hold of chanan. So there are different possibilities. So the Rav held that the vart in ein hanesar. The vart in chanan is you have to be mevatel not just the iser but the carrier of the iser. So memela ein hanasar makes a lot of sense because if it's no longer carrying iser, then it doesn't need to be misbatel. The second possibility, and this is mashmos of the Rashba, is the reason why we say ein hanasar is because since chanan by shari surin is only derabanan lo echmiru kol kach. Again, that wouldn't work, let's say, for the tzad in Tosfos, that chanan, even by shari surin, is deraisa. And another possibility is along the lines that we were saying, though at least this works for one type of ein hanesar, which is that even by bas v'chalav we might say ein hanesar. Okay, and then of course, if you learn like the Ran, it's a taka we do. Okay. One last point, I think we're basically done, is a simin tzadi aleph a sif zayin, because that doesn't really get any treatment in simin kuf hay. Now this is a case that we did talk about though, and that's the Gemara in chulin kuf yud beis amid aleph hahu bar gozla. So there's a big machlokas in the Rishonim what the Gemara is talking about. So the Rashba and the Ravid and the Ran all understand the Gemara kipshuto, that the Gemara says that if the Bar Gozla is Tzli, and it falls into the Kutach, then you need a Klipa. So what does that mean? We'll treat it literally Tzli, right? Mamish, you took the Gozel right out of the oven, and as you're putting it onto your plate, you drop it into your barrel of Kutach, so it needs a Klipa. Why? Because it makes a lot of sense. It's going to be tasa gavar. The kutach is cold. The bargozla is hot. So you need a klipa in the bargozla. Now there the Rashba said, well, the Rashba shita is that klipa, that sli is klipa. That's one of the reasons why Tosos couldn't learn this way, correct. But according to the Rashba and the Ran and the Ravid, sli only asers a klipa. What? Chaim l'toltonim. You're right. Ooh, up. Sorry, thank you. Got confused. Good. So chaim l'toltonim. Good. So you only need a klipa to make a leibal. Everybody would agree to a klipa here. Good. We'll get there. Good. So that's. I understand. We'll get there. So first pshat is the Rashba's pshat. The Rashba's pshat is the simple understanding that tzli is literally tzli. It's hot. And the reason why it's only klipa is because Admeker Lebala klipa. Good. The Rush, in the Kolobasa Simon Lamed Gimel, the Orza Ruah, Rabbeinu Peretz, the Smak, the Smag, the Marami Rottenberg, Sefer Truma, Tur, and Maharil all understand that the Gemara is talking about Sli Tsonin. Therefore, now, one reason why they might not accept the pshat of the Rashba is like you were just alluding to, which is that maybe we don't treat this as a tzonin l'tocham, because since, if it were actually hot, since it sinks to the bottom, now it's on the bottom, and we should treat it as the tasa, in which case a klipa would be insufficient. Good. So then what is the pshat? So the pshat is that it's cold. Well, if it's cold, so now we have a brand new chiddush. What's the chiddush? Because usually things that are cold, hadacha be'al masagi. So why should you need a klipa if it's cold? Yes, it's true, it's roasted, but why should you need a klipa? So the answer is that when things get roasted, they become more porous or cracks or the like, and that's why if you learn this way, it's lavdafka roasted, it would be afoy or mevushal or anything, since it becomes softer, it's nisrachech, and therefore it's bolea kedei klipa, even sonin. In other words, the idea is very simple. Usually, when do we say hadacha works? When hadacha would be effective of washing off the yisr. Here, hadacha would not be effective in terms of washing off the yisr, and therefore it's aser. Now, then the Gemara said one step further. If it has bekayim, or it's metubal, it's spicy, so then it's aser bekulo. Now, the question is, do those next steps within this view apply to dafka if it's roasted but cold, or even if it's raw, cold but metubal, let's say, does it become kulo aser? So this is a machlokas. Indeed, the Rush, quoting the Sefer Truma, and this is a view of the Tur and the Maril, all hold that when there's bikayim, or it's metubal, and it's cold, it's kulo et nasar. Why? Because, well, bikayim makes a lot of sense. If the milk goes into these cracks, then it's not going to come out. And what about tavlin? So tavlin is a chiddush that it causes more absorption, maybe because it softens it or something like that, but somehow or another, it causes more absorption. Whereas others, or Zarua, Rabbeinu Peretz, Smag, Smak, Isser Veheter, and Maharshal, all say no, that even that the only time the Bikayim or the Metubal causes something cold to become Kulawasser is if it's cooked or roasted, but if it's raw, it's going to be okay. You could always do Hadacha, even if there are cracks, so wash out the cracks. Nothing is going to permanently stay within the basar, even after hadacha, unless it was one time cooked and thereby softened. So how do we paskin? So the mechaber seems to be meka, like the view of the Rashba, and therefore, if it's cold, there's nothing to talk about, whether it's cooked or raw. The Rama says that we should be machmir for the opinion of the Or Zarua. The Or Zarua is the middle shita, that if it's cold but roasted, it's going to be a klipa. Cold, roasted, and spiced, it's going to be kulo. But raw is always going to be mutter. And the Rama also writes that behefsid meruba, you could be somech on the Rashba visiato, that whenever it's cold, hadacha is sufficient. The Shach goes one step further. He says that behefsid meruba, you can't be somech on the Rashba. Behefsid meruba, you could be somech on the Or Zarua. But mikar adin, or normally, shelo b'makom behefsid meruba, we should be choshish for the shita of the Rash, which says that even raw, but metubal, let's say, is aser bekulo. The it's not clear if you learn like the shitos that say we're even talking about cold. So what would be if it was tzli roseach letoch kutach? And that gets to the question of whether you treat it as a tasa or an ilah. If you look at the Shach Sivkat Mechavav, he quotes Hagos Maimonios and Isser Veheter that tzli roseach shenafa lekutach nasar kedei netila. And the Shach rejects it and says it would only be a klipa, assuming everything is tzonein, kachosh tzonein and the like, meaning to say, we wouldn't treat it as the tasa, we would treat it as the ilah. Okay. Anyhow, just one minor question, which is this halacha of mitubal. So, what is considered mitubal, right? What's spicy? How much spices do you need for this chiddush of, let's say, for it to be nasar bekulo to apply? So if you look at the Chavos Das Sifkat and Chavav, he says we're talking about metubal she'eno nachal machmas its spiciness. In other words, a number of other achronim say this as well. They basically say this is a similar idea to melicha. Just like we saw yesterday or 2 days ago that the Rashba writes that the din of melicha is kiroseach machmas charifuso. So the koach of tavlin is also machmas charifus. So they would follow the same rules. Just like saltiness she'enachal machmas milcho is garnished, so too mitubal she'enachal machmas tibulo is going to be okay. Now, if you learn like this, it's a big kula, because basically you're never going to intentionally spice something in such a way that it's so spicy that you would never eat it, which is one of the reasons why there are those that reject this chavos das. They said, one second, why would anybody put bishlam of salt? We know why you would put so much salt on something that you couldn't eat it, because you want to drain the blood. But, like, why would I ever put so much, you know, pepper, let's say, assuming it's roasted for a moment, right? Let's follow the view of the Or Zeruah. So, would anybody ever put so much pepper on their roasted steak that now their steak becomes inedible? Right, so it's true. If it does that, you could wash it off, but why would anybody ever do that? It's okay, because I was salting my steak and the cover for the pepper fell off, and now it has too much pepper, and okay, and then it falls into the kutach, and that's what we're talking about. If you think it's raw, maybe you could say a little better. Like, I thought you could be like, you marinate it. Sometimes you would put a lot of spices in the marination that by the time you roast it and eat it, it won't be too spicy.
There is such a thing as dry rub, which you put on, I think a lot of times you take off.
Right. Right. So that works. That's what I thought. It works better if it's raw, though. Right?
Yeah.
That's what I said. In other words, this ukimta works better if you learn like the machmirim, like the rush, as opposed to like the mikilin, like the Or Zeruah. Yeah. I don't know. You know, I have to look at the ancient cooking processes. I don't know. Fine. There's another interesting question. Do these halachos apply just to bar gozla or kutach or not? It's not so clear. Many poskim write, they don't seem to write who had in everything else. But the Rashba writes that basar chai metubal shenafal l'chalav would need a klipa l'chora, because the tibul does cause a blia kadei klipa. In other words, something like salt, despite the Rashba's understanding of the Gemara. So that wasn't so clear to me. Wasn't so clear. Okay, so Bezus Hashem will stop here. As I mentioned before, so the Bechina will be next Sunday, a week from Sunday. The trip to Rabbi Weiss is going to be this Tuesday. Bezus Hashem, I still have to confirm it with the Weisses, but if I don't tell you otherwise, and then again, as I said in email, the Monday after the Bechina, we'll go over the Bechina again together. Please, everyone, try to take the Bechina on time, meaning Sunday, so we can go over it on Monday. I think it's kedai to go over the Bechina together well, because a lot of the questions on the Bechina, try to as much as I can to come up with like practical shilas that come up. So it's kedai to go over them together with you. That way, you know, you'll tell me when I made mistakes and I didn't understand it. If I try to grade your Bechina, then there might be a lot of mistakes. So just yesterday, Ray Willig was saying, like, if you don't have Talmidim to go over Shir with, then stomach, you got it all wrong. So we'll do that Monday, and then again Wednesday, we'll start with Simon Kuf Zion, because remember we did Kufaf already. Okay, Shkaya Hatzlach, everyone on the Chazara.